Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Hanafi Fiqh class with myself Abu Mus'ab. We are still currently doing the kitab of Imam Ashirun Bulali rahimahullah, which is known as Nurul Idah. In our last class, we had completed the obligatory actions of wudu and all those things which are obligatory and which are necessary to do in wudu. So what we're starting with this week, inshallah, is those things which are sunnah in wudu. So this chapter is Faslun fi bayani sunani al-wudu, the chapter regarding the explanation of those things which are sunnah in wudu. So we can start from here. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. So he says, Faslun fi bayani sunani al-wudu. He says, يُسَنُّ فِي الْوُضُوءِ ثَمَانِيَةَ عَشَرَ شَيْئًا. It is, there are 18 actions which are sunnah to do in wudu. These actions are, number one, غَسْلُ الْيَدَيْنِ إِلَى الرُّسْغَيْنِ, washing both hands until the wrists. Now, although he does not, with this kitab being the type of kitab that it is, a very basic beginner level, entry level Hanafi fiqh kitab, naturally it does not give dalil. Because, like I say, it's a beginner's level. It's for a person who knows nothing whatsoever. This book teaches you the basics of fiqh, so to say. So, therefore, it doesn't focus on dalil so much. In order to make it concise for the reader and the listener to be able to follow and understand and everything. But actually, behind everything which is said here, as is naturally the case, the Hanafi madhab, like the other madhahib, is not based on personal opinion. There is dalil behind every viewpoint which the madhab gives. And like this, for example, just this one here, that Ghaslul Yadayni ila Rusghain. For those of you who have been listening to the radio from right in the beginning, when we did two classes from Al-Hidayah of Imam Al-Marghinani rahimahullah, and the class from Bada'i'u Sana'i of Imam Al-Kasani rahimahullah, you would have remembered that when we came to this point in time with regards to washing the hands, then in there they mentioned dalil, because naturally both those kitabs are of a much higher advanced level, and there they give dalil. So the dalil, for example, on this point here is the hadith wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, إِذَا اسْتَيْقَظَ أَحَدُكُم مِّن نَوْمِهِ فَلَا يَغْمِسَنَّ يَدَهُ فِي الْإِنَاءِ حَتَّى يَغْسِلَهَا. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when one of you wakes up from sleep, then he should not submerge his hand in the container. Obviously, understanding everything in its proper context, there was no taps that you open with running water. So everybody would perform wudu from a container where water was stored in. So therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not submerge your hand into the container until you have washed it thrice. Meaning you take some water out of the container and you wash your hand outside, like you have a small jug or something, and you wash your hands outside, and thereafter, once your hands are clean, you can put it in the container and start your wudu like that. So the reason Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to do this, لِأَنَّهُ لَا يَدْرِ أَيْنَا بَاتَتْ يَدُهُ, because the person, he does not know where his hands have spent the night. So you do not know what impurities are on your hands. Now if you dip it into the water like that without first washing it, you will make the water again impure. So there is dalil behind everything, although like I say here, he does not mention any dalil. So in any case, the more in-depth dalail and stuff like that, we will leave for the more advanced fiqh kitabs when we come there, inshallah. For now, we are keeping it basic, so we leave it at that. So the first sunnah action of wudu is to wash the hand, both hands, until the wrists. Number two, وَالتَّسْمِيَةُ ابْتِدَاءً, to say the tasmiyah, which is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, when you start your wudu. And this, for those of you who have been listening again to the tafsir classes on a Saturday, you would have understood and be able to link the two up, why he says that it is sunnah to start with the tasmiyah. Because in the tafsir class, we came across the narration which mentioned that, I mentioned it myself, but the narration there was, but there's two narrations. كل أمر ذبال لا يبدأ فيها ببسم الله فهو أجذم or فهو أقطع, that various narrations mention that every good action which is not started with Bismillah, then it is deficient. The narration which is from the tafsir was كل أمر ذبال لا يبدأ فيها بحمد الله فهو أجذم, that any good deed which is not started with the hamd, meaning Alhamdulillah, then that deed is deficient. So there are narrations which mention those, the necessity of saying Alhamdulillah when starting an action, and also of saying Bismillah. That's why, for example, if you heard when we started, I said Bismillahi walhamdulillahi wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. So that is Bismillah, it suffices for the tasmiyah, walhamdulillah, that suffices for the hamd. So that's a bit off topic, but it's just basically linking the one class with the other class, because the deen as a whole is like one large puzzle. You may hear one thing here and one thing there and one thing there, but eventually it comes together and it makes a full picture. So nothing is in isolation all on its own. So in any case, number two was what tasmiyatu ibtida'an. It is sunnah to say Bismillah before you start your wudu. Then he says, وَالسِّوَاكُ فِي ابْتِدَائِهِ وَلَوْ بِالْأُصْبُعِ عِنْدَ فَقْدِهِ. It is sunnah to use the siwak or the miswak, the toothstick, however you prefer to know it, at the beginning of your wudu, in its proper place. And he says, وَلَوْ بِالْأُصْبُعِ عِنْدَ فَقْدِهِ. If you don't have your miswak with you, or you've lost it, or whatever the case may be, then in this case, it would be sunnah that you use your finger to clean your teeth. Otherwise, if you have your miswak, then it is sunnah to use your miswak. Then he says, وَالْمَضْمَضَةُ ثَلَاثًا وَلَوْ بِغُرْفَةٍ. Another sunnah of wudu is to rinse the mouth thrice. And he says, وَلَوْ بِغُرْفَةٍ. غُرْفَة refers to a handful of water. So you take one handful of water and you put a little bit in your mouth, you rinse your mouth, you spit it out. You've still got water left in your hand, you put a little bit more in your mouth, rinse, spit out, and then you've got a last bit, you put in your mouth, you rinse, and you spit out. So you've, in actual fact, you've taken one handful of water, but you've used that one handful to rinse your mouth thrice. So it's not taking one handful and then a second handful and a third handful, but rather it's taking one handful and using the same handful to rinse your mouth thrice. Then it goes on, وَالْإِسْتِنْشَاقُ بِثَلَاثِ غُرَفَاتٍ. And to put water in the nose with three handfuls. So here in the first one, when you do your mouth, you do it with one handful. But when you're cleaning your nose, then you use three separate different water each time. So you use one handful into your nose, next handful fresh water, third handful fresh water in each case. Now, when it comes to the terms with regards to cleaning the nose, al-istinshaq refers to, as you can say, running water into the nose, or as you can also say, pulling water upwards into the nose. Another additional term is used, which has not been mentioned here, but that is istinthar. So you have istinshaq, which is to pull in, and istinthar, which is to blow out. So it says here to, when you're pulling the water into your nose, you use three separate handfuls of water, one handful for each time. Then it says, والمبالغة في المضمضة والاستنشاق لغير الصائم. And to go far and pull the water deep into your nose and to gargle to the back of your throat, it is sunnah for a person who's not fasting. And this is something I did comment on in the past in one of our previous classes. The reason for this, the implication which is given here, he's implying to another ruling which will come in the chapter of fasting, insha'Allah, which is, and I also mentioned last time, the hadith as well, that بَالِغُوا فِي الْإِسْتِنْشَاقِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ صَائِمًا, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that pull the water deeply into your nose except when you are fasting. This hadith is giving the same implication that this quote from the kitab is giving, that the reason why you don't pull it in deeply is because when you pull it deeply, what happens is that the water goes down your throat. And when the water goes down your throat, then it breaks your fast. Because anything, whether it's intentional or unintentional, when it goes down your throat, then your wudu breaks. So here he says that you gargle and you pull the water deep into your nose when you are not fasting. When you are fasting, then you don't do it that far. Lightly into your nose and light rinse of your mouth, but nothing deep that will cause any water to go down your throat. Because whether you intended it or you did not intend it, it's an accident, anything, it will not be excused. Your fast will still break. Okay, the next one he says, وتخليل اللحية الكثة بكف ماء من أسفلها. And to make khilal of the beard, meaning to pass the fingers through a thick beard with a palm full of water from the bottom upwards. So you take water, you put it in your palm, and then you pass your fingers through from the back bottom of your beard up through to the front. He say to do this when you've got a thick beard, then this is sunnah. And this with regards to a thick and a thin beard, we did this also previously in Al-Hidayah of Imam Al-Marghinani rahimahullah. So in any case, we did that with Imam Al-Marghinani rahimahullah in his kitab. So okay, in any case, so he says that when you have a thick beard, just to quickly run through it again, when you have a thin beard, then you wash your chin, because it's possible, because your beard is wispy, it's thin, it's easy for the water to get through. But when your beard is thick, and now you have difficulty, your chin is not showing, because your beard covers it entirely, then in this case, it becomes sunnah to just like this, pass your wet fingers through your beard to make this, so that there is some semblance of you washing your, as you can say, your beard in that sense. Okay, then continuing on. The next sunnah, he says, وَتَخْلِيلُ الْأَصَابِعِ, and to pass the wet fingers through one another. Now this, how this is done, again, your hands are wet, both your hands, then you just pull your fingers through one another. Okay, the تخليل الأصابع, it's quite simple. You pass your wet fingers through, like if you interlace your fingers, so just like that, you pass your right through your left and your left through your right. That's what is تخليل الأصابع, how you make خلال of the fingers, meaning you pass your wet hand between the fingers. And this is done both for your hands, and you do it for your feet as well. When it comes to your feet, then although he does not mention the method over here, but it's mentioned in the hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to take his small finger and would clean between his toes in that manner, using his small finger. So both you do asabi' is used, as you can say, the English word for it would be digits, and your digits refer to both your fingers and your toes. So asabi' is used both to you for the fingers and for the toes at times. So in any case, it is sunnah to make khilal of your fingers and your toes. With your fingers, you use your hands, all four fingers between the other fingers. But when it comes to your feet, you don't pull your fingers through your feet like that, like you do with your hands, but rather you will take your small finger and you will clean between your toes like that. Then he continues on and he says, وَتَثْلِيثُ الْغَسْلِ, and to wash each limb thrice. So you wash your hands thrice, you wash your arms thrice, you wash your face thrice, everything that is there to be washed, you will wash it thrice. And this, again, like I always mentioned, this is the dalil for everything, and we have passed many of these things in the previous class, but I will mention it at times for those who are new and who has not come across it before. So what is obligatory, as we did previously, is to wash once, but it is sunnah to wash thrice. Then he says, وَإِسْتِعَابُ الرَّأْسِ بِالْمَسْحِ مَرَّةً. It is sunnah to wipe or the entire head once, not thrice, but once. And this also was mentioned, and I'll mention it now again. There's a bit of as you can say, a logical explanation that the ulama have given in Al-Hidayah when we did it in last month or the month before that. I think it must have been in December. Which is that when Allah mentioned in the Quran, فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ وَمْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ, then الْأَمْرُ الْمُطْلَقُ لَا يَقْتَضِي التَّكْرَارِ, which is an unrestricted command. It does not necessitate repetition. This is the usuli term that the ulama have given as to why you wipe your head once and you don't wipe it thrice. Additional proof is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed wudu and he washed his hands thrice and his arms thrice and his feet thrice and his face thrice and wiped his head once only. So therefore we say from this it is sunnah and obviously obligatory as well that you wipe your head once. Okay, moving on, he says, وَمَسْحُ الْأُذُنَيْنِ وَلَوْ بِمَاءِ الرَّأْسِ. Another sunnah of wudu is to wipe the ears, even if it's done with the water of the head. Meaning you've just made masah of your head, you've just wiped your head now. Now with that same water, without taking new water, you now wipe your ears. So you put your fingers into your ears and with your thumb, you go over the, you wet behind your ears, you wipe behind your ears, and your other finger goes inside and you clean the front portion of your ear. So you make masah of your ear. And he said, that's why he says, وَلَوْ بِمَاءِ الرَّأْسِ, even if it's used with the same water from your head. Now, on this point again, which I did mention again in the past and I'll mention again now, the hadith wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الْأُذُنَانِ مِنَ الرَّأْسِ, the ears are from the head. Now, this is why the ulama differ as to what is the purpose of this hadith. Is this hadith referring to wudu, as the ulama here take it and say, al-udhnani min al-ra'as, that the ears are from the head, meaning that when you wash the head, then you wash your ear, you wipe your ears as well. Others say no, that this is like telling you that the ears belong to the head, more from a creation perspective. So when you wash your face, then that is actually when you wash your ears, I mean you wipe your ears. So the ulama differ on this point as to when the ears are to be wiped in wudu. Is it when you wipe your face, or is it when you wash your face, or when you wipe your head? So in any case, here he says, وَلَوْ بِمَاءِ الرَّأْسِ, even if it's with the same water of your head, meaning you don't have to now take fresh water. Then he says, the next one, وَالدَّلْكُ. Now, what dalak or dalk, it means to rub the limbs with water. And this is, you can understand it in a number of its benefits. It comes especially when it comes like in cold weather and things like this. You first rub the water onto your limb, because when you rub the water, you rub your limb with the water, then it makes you 100% certain that the water has reached the entire limb. Sometimes you pour water just, and then there's a portion of your arm or your leg or your whatever the case may be, which has not been washed. So therefore, the sunnah of dalk is there, that you rub your limb with the water to make sure that every single portion is washed. Okay, a question has just come inside here, that when wiping the head for a man with long hair, how can he be sure that the water reached his scalp? Okay, for those of you who don't know, anybody who have any questions with regards to the lessons, you can send it in via Skype, the Skype name being Ummah Radio. So, in any case, for the answer to this, it's not necessary for the water to reach the entire head. And as for how a person can be certain that the water reaches the scalp, naturally, when you wipe your head once, it suffices, you will know you will be able to feel it itself. But you wipe your hair, and the purpose of and this is something which was mentioned in the other class as well, of Al-Hidayah and Bada'i Sana'i, that the purpose of Masah, which it says, Masah means to wipe, not to wash. We are not commanded to wash our heads in wudu, we are commanded to wipe it. You wash your hand under the tap, and with a wet hand, simply, you pass it over your hair. So, the wiping of the head has got nothing to do with causing your scalp to get wet. That's why, what I mentioned back then too, the ulama differ on how much of the hair or the head should be wiped in wudu. According to the Shafi'i Madhab, or Imam Ash-Shafi'i rahimahullah, he says that what is considered the least amount of wiping, that is what is obligatory. Obviously, if you wipe more, we're talking now into sunnah and things like that. But he's talking what is obligatory, that if you don't do this much, then your wudu is not valid. And according to Imam Ash-Shafi'i rahimahullah, he says 3 strands of hair, that much is sufficient, then your wudu would be valid. If you wipe like only 2 strands, then your wudu would be invalid. While according to the Hanafi madhab, we say that you wipe a quarter of the head, rub'u ar-ra's, which is the miqdar an-nasiya, as you can say, the length of the forelock. And obviously the hadith which was given back then is that of Hadrat Mughira radiyallahu anhu, where he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ata subatata qawmin fabala wa tawadda'a wa masaha ala nasiyatihi wa khuffayhi, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to a dumps of a certain people and he relieved himself and then he performed wudu and he wiped his forelock. So from that hadith, the Hanafi ulama get their viewpoint of saying that you wipe only the amount of the forelock and you don't have to wipe any more than that. So when a man with long hair or short hair or any hair, you just wipe your hand, you wash your hand once under the tap and you pass your wet hand over your hair, and that is sufficient. There is no need for you to go investigate as to whether the water came right down to your scalp and things like that. That will not be necessary. Wallahu a'lam. Okay, so coming back to the book again, we had just passed by dalk, which is to rub the limbs with water. Now continuing on, he says the next sunnah is wal wila'u. Wila means to wash the limbs without any pause between it. So you wash your face, and as soon as you're done with your face, you move on to the next, to your arms and like that. So you don't first wash your face and then you stand and you delay and then you wash your arms, and by the time you wash your arms, your face is already dried. This is what is should not be done. Therefore, it is sunnah al-wila'u. You do things in succession without any pauses between it. Your wudu should be done in one, and there should not be given such a time for one limb to dry before the next one is washed. And this is a simple rule. It should not be confused. Now a person is in a desert, in a very hot place. So now by the time you wipe your face, by the time you come to your arm, because of the heat of the sun, your face is already dry. This is something totally entirely different. We're talking about having delay, and because of your delay, the water dries. So this is what should be avoided. So therefore he says it is sunnah to wash your limbs successively without pausing, so that the one limb will not dry before the next one is washed. And then he continues on. One niyyah, the niyyah, the intention. According to the Hanafi madhab, the niyyah for wudu is sunnah. While according to, as we know, the Shafi'i madhab, they say that the niyyah is the intention is a condition for the validity of the wudu. And both ulama have got their dalil, and the dalil was actually mentioned, like I did mention time and again, from the previous class of Al-Hidayah and Bada'i Sana'i. So, but yes, according to the Hanafi madhab, the niyyah, the intention, is not obligatory, but rather it is sunnah. And then he continues on and he says, وَالتَّرْتِيبُ كَمَا نَصَّ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي كِتَابِهِ. Another sunnah in wudu is to do things in succession, one after the other, as Allah has mentioned it. As the ayah says, إِذَا يَا أَيُّوَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَاغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ. Allah mentions it in a particular order. Allah says, فَاغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ, wash your faces. وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ, and your arms until the elbows. وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ, and wipe your heads. وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعَبَيْنِ, and wash your feet until the ankles. So Allah mentions face first, then arms, then head, and then feet. So there's an order. This is what you know in Arabic as tartib, and this tartib is sunnah. Again, according to the Hanafi madhab, the Shafi'i ulama, they say that tartib is obligatory, that you have to make it in this order here. So we say that tartib is sunnah, like how Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, in this particular order, so you should do it in this order here as well. Then he continues, and he says, وَالْبُدَاءَةُ بِالْمَيَامِنِ وَرُؤُوسِ الْأَصَابِعِ وَمُقَدَّمِ الرَّأَسِ. He says that to start from the right, and this is, the hadith is also that, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يحب التيامن في كل شيء. That رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم used to like starting from the right with everything, في تنعله وترجله, with regards to combing his hair and putting on his shoes and everything like that, always starting from the right. So therefore, والبداءة بالميامن, to start with the right limb when you're performing your wudu. So you start by washing your hands, you wash your right hand first. When you're washing your arms, you wash your right arm first. When you're washing your feet, you wash your right foot first. Always the right before the left. So this is the one sunnah. And this is وَرُؤُوسُ الْأَصَابِعِ. When you start washing your hands or your arms, you start from the fingertips down, from your fingers, and then you move onto your hand, and then your arm till the elbow. You don't start from your elbow and then come down till your fingers. And also it says وَمُقَدَّمُ الرَّأَسِ, to start from when you are wiping your head, you start from the front of the head, meaning from where the hairline normally starts, from there, and you go backwards. You don't start from, say, the middle of your head and come forward, but rather you start from the front and you go back. So here the three he mentions, to start from the right, to wash your fingers from the top and then move to your arms, and obviously from your toes also then towards your feet, and to wipe your head starting from the front and then going backwards. And then he says, وَمَسْحُ الرَّقَبَةِ لَلْحُلْقُومِ. Another sunnah is to wipe the neck, not the throat. So you wipe your neck in your wudu, but you don't, as you can say, the front part of your throat itself, that part, you don't have to wipe that one in wudu. And then he says, وَقِيلَ إِنَّ الْأَرْبَعَةَ الْأَخِيرَةَ مُسْتَحَبَّةٌ. It has been said that the last four actions mentioned here are mustahab, meaning it's desirable, but it's not sunnah, it's below sunnah. These four are the tartib, doing things in order, starting from the right, washing the from the fingers upwards, and starting from the front, wiping from the front of the head, and wiping of the neck. These four things, or rather, it's actually three in the last one, that starting from the right and the fingers, but it's actually not counted as three. But in any case, these few things here, this, according to some ulama, these things are actually mustahab and not sunnah. And even some of the other stuff which has been mentioned, as we did in Al-Hidayah as well, the ulama differ as to whether this is sunnah or not sunnah. Some say it's sunnah, some say it's mustahab. You find it like that. But in any case, what we're going now with this kitab here, what Imam Ashirun Bulali rahimahullah has said. So what he said, this is what all we are doing for now. When we come to a later kitab, inshallah, we can see what other ulama had to say. But for now, this is what Imam Ashirun Bulali rahimahullah has said are the sunnah actions, and in the last lesson, the fard, the obligatory actions. And then lastly, he said that some say these last four acts are mustahab, and there are those who say that it is sunnah. So that is the end of the chapter with regards to those actions which are sunnah to do in wudu. We can move on to the next chapter. He say, Faslun fi adabil wudu. The chapter regarding the etiquette of wudu. So he says, من آداب الوضوء أربعة عشر شيئا. There are 14 things from the etiquette of wudu that a person should do. He says, number one, الجلوس في مكان مرتفع. That a person sits on a raised, elevated place. And this is so that the water doesn't splash back on you, and so that the water can run freely away on its own. Because if you are sitting in the water and you're splashing the water on you, although the water is not dirty, as we did previously in this kitab, as to what is dirty water and what is, as we term, ma'ul musta'mal, used water, which is pure, but it no longer has the ability to purify. So he's just saying here that it is, as you can say, mustahab. These are what you would term, these 14 actions are what you would term as the mustahab, the recommended actions of wudu. So the first one here is to sit on a elevated platform. Number two, he says, واستقبال القبلة, and to face the direction of the qibla, like how you would face in salah. So even in your wudu, you face towards the qibla when you perform your wudu. Then he said, وعدم الاستعانة بغيره, and not to seek assistance from somebody else. You make your wudu on your own if it's possible. There are many times a person is all outside on a journey, and now you're sitting with, like, say, a big container of water, or there's some jug or something which you are to perform wudu from, but there's no way you can perform wudu, use it and wash yourself at the same time. So in this case, you have, your friend helps you and he pours, and then you perform wudu in this manner. This is a different story. This, he says, وَعَدْمُ الْإِسْتِعَانَةِ بِغَيْرِهِ, as far as possible, like, especially like in today's times, you can open a tap yourself and things, then you perform your wudu on your own. If necessary, then the ruling changes, obviously, because necessity overrides the other stuff. So in any case here, this is when you have no necessity, then you perform your wudu on your own without taking help from anybody else. A person should not pour water for you or anything of the sort. You should make your own wudu and do it on your own, just like that. Each person performing his own wudu and things like that without help from another person. And then he says, وَعَدْمُ التَّكَلُّمِ بِكَلَامِ النَّاسِ. Another mustahab action is that a person should avoid speaking general speech. Now you're sitting and you're performing your wudu and you're talking about how business is going, or how Manchester United lost in last week's game, or things like this. All of this is what is termed as kalamun nas, the speech of people. It's not anything to do with the remembrance of Allah. It's got no it's not dhikr or anything of the sort. These type of speeches should be avoided in wudu. It is, as you would say, mustahab that you do not speak any of these things in wudu. Then he says, وَالْجَمْعُ بَيْنَ نِيَّةِ الْقَلْبِ وَفِعْلِ اللِّسَانِ. And another mustahab thing is that you have both a intention in your heart, which is where the intention actually belongs. So he says, both you have the intention in your heart where it's supposed to be, and additionally, you also verbally say it by your tongue. So, بين نية القلب وفعل اللسان, that فعل اللسان is the verbal, and the نية القلب is the actual intention in the heart. So you keep your intention in your heart, and you verbally say it on your tongue as well. According to Imam Ashrun Bulali rahimahullah, this is mustahab, as you say, desirable or recommended. The next one, he says, وَالدُعَاءُ بِالْمَأْثُورِ, and to make those du'as which are reported from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ma'athur, the term is athar, and when we do the hadith class, the term athar, I did explain there, but basically, athar, the ulama have different usages for the term athar. You have, as you would say, the term hadith, then you have the term called khabar, then you have the term called athar. Now, a statement of a sahabi is also called an athar. Like you have al-ad'iyatul ma'athura, the prophetic supplications, you have books like the ad'iyah, plural of dua, and ma'athura is as you can say, which comes from an athar. Now, athar can be used for hadith, and athar meaning a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this term athar can also be used for the statements of sahaba radiyallahu anhum. So he says here that it is also mustahab that you make the sunnah du'as as well in your wudu. Then he say, continues on and he says, وَالتَّسْمِيَةُ عِنْدَ كُلِّ عَضْوٍ. And taking the tasmiyah, saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim at the time of washing each limb. So you wash your arms and you say Bismillah, then you wash your face and again you say it and so on. So taking the tasmiyah, taking the name of Allah, Bismillah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, like that, when you wash your face, when you wash your arms, when you wash your feet and so on, you say this is also mustahab, recommended that you do this. The next one he says, وَإِدْخَالُ خِنْصَرِهِ فِي سَمَاخِ أُذُنَيْهِ. And to insert your small finger into the opening of the ears. And this is what I referred to earlier when we mentioned about wiping the ears in wudu. So here he says, you take your small finger and you put it into your ear. Why? So that you can clean the inside of the ear. With your thumb, you clean the outside of your ear. And with your index finger, whichever other finger, you clean the outer section of your ear. The front part of your earlobe and things, which faces towards people. So, this is how you clean your ear. So another mustahab action, you say, is that you put your finger inside so that you can wash more by using your small finger to clean the whole inside of your ear. Then he says, وَتَحْرِيكُ خَاتَمِهِ الْوَاسِعِ. And to move a loose, wide ring if you have it on your finger. If you are performing wudu and you have a ring on, and the ring is wide enough for water to pass through underneath it, then while you're performing your wudu, you turn your ring while washing your hand so that you can be certain the water reaches everything underneath it. If the ring is tight, then in that case it will not be permissible to perform a wudu with it, but rather you will have to remove the ring and wash your hands properly, and only after your wudu will you be able to put your ring back on again. Then he says, وَالْمَضْمَضَةُ وَالْإِسْتِنْشَاقُ بِالْيَدِ الْيُمْنَى وَالْإِمْتِخَاطُ بِالْيُسْرَى. Another mustahab recommended action is that you rinse your mouth and you put water into your nose using your right hand. وَالْإِمْتِخَاطُ بِالْيُسْرَى. And he says you take out your mucus using the left hand. So you take your right hand and you pull the water into your nose, then you take your left hand and you blow your nose like that. You don't use your right hand still to blow your nose, but you use your left hand. And the right and left hand ruling is quite well known, that any good thing, you use your right hand. Any bad thing, dirty thing, you use your left hand. So therefore, when you are blowing your mucus out, therefore it's a dirty thing naturally, so therefore you use your left hand and not your right hand. And then he goes on and he says, وَالتَّوَضُّءُ قَبْلَ دُخُولِ الْوَقْتِ لِغَيْرِ الْمَعْذُورِ. He says, it is mustahab, it is recommended as well, that you perform your wudu before the time of the salah enters at all. So say it's tahajjud time, for example, and you don't have wudu, you've just woken up. Fajr time is only entering in about 10 minutes time. Then it is mustahab that you perform your wudu now, so that you have wudu by the time Fajr actually enters. And not that you perform your wudu only when the time of Fajr has actually entered. And it's not only restricted to Fajr, for any of the five salawat, he says, it is recommended, it's desirable, it's something good, if you perform your wudu before the time of the salah entered. And he says, this is for a ghayr al-ma'adhur, meaning for a normal person, myself and you. A ma'adhur is such a person who is excused because of something. For example, you have a person whose blood is continuously flowing, so if he must perform wudu now, then he's just going to finish his wudu, and he's going to start bleeding again. So naturally his wudu will break again. So therefore he says, to avoid all of this, this year of performing wudu before the time comes in, this is for a person who is normal and he has no illnesses or anything. He's got, he don't have urine drops coming out the whole time of anything of this sort here. So for such a person, it is mustahab that you perform your wudu beforehand. But if you are one of these ma'adhur people that you bleed or you leak or anything of the sort like this, then these things, this law will not apply to you, and you will perform your wudu when the time of the salah has actually entered. And then lastly, he continues on here towards the ending. He says, وَالْإِتْيَانُ بِالشَّهَادَتَيْنِ بَعَدَهُ, to say أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, the shahadatayn, it is also mustahab, it is also recommended that you say this after you perform your wudu. And then he says, وَأَيْ يَشْرَبَ مِنْ فَضْلِ الْوَضُوءِ قَائِمًا, and that a person drinks the leftover water of his while standing. This is something which Hadrat Ali radiallahu anhu physically showed us when he showed the people how to perform wudu. And then he stood up and he took the leftover water of his and he drank it while he was standing. So then one person made a statement to Hadrat Ali radiallahu anhu, and then he said, I did this just to show people like yourself, meaning because people don't know about doing this. And additionally, what the ulama have mentioned is that the standing and drinking water, this water was also zamzam water, and not, as you can say, the ordinary tap water that you have now from the taps. So when it comes even to zamzam water, there's a lot more leeway for standing and drinking water. But ordinary, as you can say, tap water and things like this, then the ruling is you sit and you drink it. But in any case, this drinking from the leftover water while standing, whether it's zamzam or not zamzam, in both cases it would be permissible for you to drink it. And then he says, وَأَيْ يَقُولَ اللَّهُمَ جَعَلْنِي مِنَ التَّوَّابِينَ وَجَعَلْنِي مِنَ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. He says, another mustahab action is that a person says the dua, O Allah, اللهم اجعلني من التوابين, oh Allah, make me from those who repent, وجعلني من المتطهرين, and make me from those people who purify themselves. Okay, a question again here. When I wake up for Fajr and when I rinse my mouth bleeds for like 5 minutes. So I wait until I stop bleeding and then do wudu? Yes, you see, okay, we have not come quite to the breakers of wudu yet, but the bleeding of gums and things like this, because whether you rinse your mouth or you use floss or you brush your teeth or something of the sort, and now this has caused blood to flow in your mouth. And what is considered flowing of blood in the mouth, this will be dealt with in its own time, inshallah, under the breakers of wudu. But for now, just suffice to say that when you taste blood in your mouth, and this is normally the case, like I can, if your mouth is bleeding for 5 minutes, then you would naturally be able to taste the blood. So this would break your wudu. So then in this case, you should wait until the bleeding stops and then you do your wudu. Otherwise, if you perform your wudu before this and then your mouth bleeds for another 5 minutes, then your wudu will break, and if you perform salah like that, your salah will also be invalid, and so on and so forth. The rest of the rules will follow. So when there is no blood or anything coming out, then you perform your wudu and you continue on as normal. Wallahu a'lam. Okay, that was the ending of the chapter with those things which are mustahab, recommended to do in wudu. Now there's one last chapter here which I want to do, and then inshallah we can stop on that point. This is now Faslun fi makruhati al-wudu, the chapter with regards to those things which are disliked, which are makruh in wudu. So he says, wa yukrahu lil mutawaddi sittata ashya, it is makruh for a person performing wudu these six things, to do any of these six things. Number one, he says, al-israfu fil ma, to waste water. And wastage of water, like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had mentioned to the one sahabi, that you can even waste water, or rather it is even considered wasting water, even if you are performing salah, as you can say, at a river bank. As we would think now, you're using 4 liters to perform wudu, you're sitting under a tap, that's also considered wasting water. But all this additional long flowings of water and things like this, all this is considered to be wastage. So therefore, number one, which is disliked in wudu, is that you waste water. And number two, وَالتَّقْتِيرُ فِيهِ. The second one is to be stingy with regards to water. So now you want to pour 4 drops and expect to wash your whole arm with things like this. This again is another makruh thing. So now you have to basically take those 4 drops and rub it around your arm in order to get your arm some semblance of being wet. But we are told to wash the arms and so on, and only it's the head which we are told to wipe. So when you are using so miserly amount of water, then it becomes almost as though you are making masah of your arms instead of making ghusl, washing your arms as you have been commanded to do. Therefore, it is makruh that you use a minute amount of water that is not sufficient to wash your limbs properly. He then says the next one, وَضَرْبُ الْوَجْهِ بِهِ, and to hit your face with it. So you don't put water in your hand and you slap it onto your face. This is another makruh action. You wash your, put the water in your hands, and then you wipe your face with the water in a decent, orderly fashion, and not slapping your face with it. And obviously, this issue of slapping the face, hitting the face, was just dealt with on last Thursday. One of the questions came in with regards to the question and A session, with regards to hitting the face and slapping the wife and everything of the sort there. And we know the ruling is that it's not permissible to hit the face. And this law, like I said, it applies to Muslim, it applies to kafir, it applies to men, it applies to women, it applies to animals, and furthermore, it applies to your own self as well. Doesn't mean that no, it's your own face there, therefore you can slap yourself around. This is not permissible either. So in any case, the next one says, وَالتَّكَلُّمُ بِكَلَامِ النَّاسِ, another makruh action, and thus we just did amongst the mustahab things, that a person should avoid it. So here he's putting it, you should avoid it because it's makruh. So to speak general speech, like I said, you want to talk about Liverpool and Manchester United and all these other things here, or you want to talk about how nice the mags on your car is and things like this, all these worldly matters, it's makruh that you speak any of this in your wudu. And here again, the same one which came as a mustahab action that the person should avoid, he says, وَالْإِسْتِعَانَةُ بِغَيْرِهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ عُذْرٍ. It is makruh that you take help from somebody without a need. So like I said, when there comes a need, then obviously the ruling will be different. But while there is no need and you are able to perform wudu on your own, then in that case, you should perform your wudu without taking help from anyone, not to let them pour the water for you or anything. And then he says, وَتَثْلِيثُ الْمَسْحِ بِمَاءٍ جَدِيدٍ, and to wipe the head 3 times using new water, meaning you use 3 different, wash your hand, wipe your head, wash your hand, wipe your head, wash your hand, wipe your head, 3 times like this, each time using new water. This is also makruh. And the reason for this, like I mentioned previously, it was mentioned amongst the obligatory actions that you wipe your head once. And here amongst the sunnah actions, he said you wipe your head once. Therefore, he says to wipe your head thrice is makruh as well. And that is the last and final one of the 6 disliked actions of wudu. The next chapter, inshallah, will move on to Faslun fi Aqsami al-Wudu, the categories of wudu, but that we will keep until next time, inshallah. So until then, we will end here and we say, وَصَلَّى wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanaka allahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.